Let's worship the Lord this morning. This is one the third day did, I don't know, 2000s this year, so golly, 20-something years ago. Let's stand together and let's sing. This comes straight out of the Word of God. This is such a good song. Reminds us who our Lord and King is. It's called The King of Glory.
Who is this King of Glory that pursues me with His love? Who haunts me with each hearing of His softly spoken words? My conscience a reminder of forgiveness that I need. Who is this King of Glory who offers it to me? What a great forgiveness. His name is Jesus, precious Jesus, Lord Almighty, King of my heart, King of glory. Who is this King of angels? O blessed Prince of Peace, revealing things of heaven and all its mysteries. My spirit's ever longing for His grace in which to stand. Who is this King of Glory, Son of God and Son of Man? We know who He is. His name is precious Jesus, Lord Almighty, King of my heart, King of glory. Who is this King of glory with strength and majesty, with strength and majesty, and wisdom beyond measure, the gracious King of kings, the Lord of earth forever, the Creator of all things. He is the King of glory, He's everything to me, yeah. His name is Jesus, precious Jesus, Lord Almighty, King of my heart, King of glory. Is He the King of your heart this morning? His name is Jesus, precious Jesus, Lord Almighty, King of my heart, King of glory. Lord Almighty, King of my heart, King of glory.
Amen. What an awesome, awesome, powerful God we have that would offer forgiveness to us through His Son, Jesus Christ. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, God, I thank You, Lord, for this morning, this ability to worship You, to come to You in song, Lord, to just fellowship with other believers, to bring our cares and our concerns to Your throne through prayer. We thank You, Lord, for all those things. Lord, as this next song we sing it, may the words be truly sang from our hearts this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Holy, holy is He. Song to Him who sits on heaven's mercy seat. Holy, 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 holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. With all creation I see praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything. adore you.
Love this next verse. Clothed in rainbows of living color. Can you see it?
Clothed in rainbows of living color. Flashes of lightning, rolls of thunder.
Blessing and honor.
Blessing and honor, strength and glory and power be to you, the only wise King.
Holy, holy,
holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come.
With all creation,
with all creation, I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you. I will adore you.
Amen. What great news! Filled with wonder,
filled with wonder. Awestruck wonder at the mention of your name.
What is your name? Jesus!
Jesus, your name is power. It's breath and living water. Such a marvelous mystery. Yeah. And holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come.
The hosts of heaven sing this song.
With all creation I sing, my praise the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you.
Sing it out.
And holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you.
Amen. You may be seated this morning.
Most of you don't know me as who I really am. When I was 5 years old, I went around the house with a little New Testament in my hand, couldn't read, pretending like I was a preacher. And then my mother says, I don't want him to be a preacher. Daddy says, me either. I want him to be an electrical engineer because I can never could make it. I'm just an electrician. Anyway, Mama says, no, I want him to be a lawyer. They make lots of money. But that didn't happen either. And the Lord eventually got me into the yoke. I was a minister of music for probably 15 years in Houston. And then moved to the country. Started pastoring little country churches. And then when I got 65, by the way, I just turned 85. Some of you were there. And today I was watching Charles Stanley. He celebrated his 90th birthday, still pastoring. And I give him an honor. But Silas has been here how long? Until 20 years? I knew it's been a long time because I was working out of rural shade. My old buddy Byron was promote me out as an interim supply preacher. And as time went along, that kind of fizzled out because I think that all times, you know, come to an end. And then every once in a while, Silas asked me to preach, or somebody else will, but I'm not a regular supply preacher anymore. I just go to nursing homes because that's where I'm probably going to end up. But I enjoy just being with God's people, and I'm not afraid of crowds. A couple of times in my life, I preached before crowds of over 500 people. And anyway, there was over 500 people when Jesus went away. But this morning, I want to bring a message that I brought it real shade in 2010 when Brother Byron went on vacation, and I was on June the 3rd or 13th, and it's a very simple message. And I used to have this old preacher friend of mine who never got any education, and this was the best sermon he had that I ever heard him preach. And anyway, it's called The Four Callings. God has called every one of us into this world. And then he calls you to salvation. And then he calls you to service. And then he calls you to, then he calls you to sanctification. That's separated living. And then he calls you to service. And then he calls you to service. And some preachers like to insert that he calls you to establish a home. And anyway, the last call is the heavenly call. I call that the call to security. Nothing secure here on this world. We just going through, like that old song we used to sing. Thank you for that old Hank Williams tune there. That brought back memories. And anyway, the song we used to sing all the time when I was young, it was called "This World's Not My Home, I'm Just Passing Through." And as a minister of the gospel, they asked me one time in a nursing home, says, "What kind of preacher are you?" I says, "Evidently I'm an evangelist because I never stay nowhere very long." And the longest I've stayed at a church was for 5 years. And I did more interim supply work and did revivals. I was more into revivals when I was young as a music evangelist. Julie, one time, had experienced my youth evangelist. And I wasn't a youth anymore. I was pastoring a little church. But at Trinity Baptist up in Dayton, they had a young pastor that came, and when Brother Brownlee had passed away, and he got up a youth revival from the HBU. And then right at the last minute, the music part of it canceled on him. And he called Dr. Kelly over at the association, and I was sitting across the desk from him. And anyway, I helped Dr. Kelly a lot. They never would give him an assistant on the payroll. And he used me as his to help him when he had to go places that he needed somebody to back him up. Because I made a good assistant pastor over the years. And anyway, I was just sitting there, and he says, "Now calm down, Mark." He says, "I got one sitting across the desk from me right now. And I'm 50 years old." And anyway, and he put the hand over the mic, the phone, and he says, "Brother Sam, you will do that, won't you?" I says, "Yeah, I'll go do it. One more time, I'll be a youth evangelist." And anyway, when I went there, I told Julie, I said, "We're going to sing the latest praise songs." Kyle does, but I never did. Never will. But it, yeah. And anyway, I told her, she says, "I can't play them." I said, "It's Bill Gaither praise songs." So that's what we use as praise songs. And after revival's over with, that young preacher came to me and he says, "You're a pretty good youth evangelist for a young old man." And anyway, as I stand before you here today, I want to tell you that God has a call on every one of your lives. I'm going to read two scriptures. One of them is found in Matthew 20 and verse 16. He is dealing with the workers of the vineyard. And he says, "So the last shall be first, and the first last. And many be called, but few are chosen." And then you turn over to chapter 22, and he was dealing with the marriage dinner. And anyway, at it, he says, "For many are called, but few are chosen." The reason few are chosen is because they don't choose. God calls everybody to salvation. God calls everybody that has been saved to some service for Him. We're not just freeloaders. We're to be carrying the weight of Jesus Christ and doing something for the Lord. Like I said, I didn't really want to be a preacher until I was 35 years old. Kyle, watch out now. You're getting there. And at the age where they'll make a preacher out of you if you don't watch out. And anyway, God, there's a verse in the Bible that says that he does, there's no repentance. God just has no repentance for what he has called and what he has determined. He predetermined everything before the foundations of the world. And everything that is going on is not a new thing to him. It's because he's already foresaw everything that's going to happen before he even began his creation. And anyway, what I want to do today is think about the men in the Bible. He called Noah. The world had gone so wicked, and I believe it's getting that way today, as in the days of Noah. And anyway, he called Noah and his family out of a wicked and perverse generation of people. And the mankind had been going on for some 1,500 years or more. And anyway, he knew that he was going to have to do something, because nobody wanted to acknowledge that there's even a real God in heaven. They worship anything from snakes to lizards or whatever. And anyway, and today people worship nothing but money, prestige, power, beauty, and all the things of this world. And some people even worship themselves. But anyway, in Genesis 6:13, God called Noah to prepare and bring a remnant through the flood. And many years later, maybe some 900 years later, some says it was more like a 2,000. The time element that I trace through the Bible, it comes to about 900 years, that he called Abraham out of the land of Shinar, of the Ur of the Chaldees. It was at the mouth of the Tigris-Euphrates rivers, which runs together before they get to the Persian Gulf. And that's where he was living. He called him out of there to go to a country that he was going to use as his launching ground for to get the word out that there was a God in heaven and people needed to know him. And Abraham answered the call. Moses, many years later, after Abraham, Moses came on the scene. Jacob, who was the grandson of Abraham, took the children of Israel down to Egypt to dwell in the land of Goshen. I remember when I was a kid, people would tell somebody something that they couldn't hardly believe, and you'd hear them say, "Land of Goshens." And I always wondered, where's the land of Goshen? And after I grew up and started studying the Bible, I found out where it was. It's on the mouth of the Nile River down there, and one of the tributaries where that they had a good land that they could irrigate their crops and everything. And it was a beautiful land. But the Pharaoh of Egypt made it into a burial ground. And he made slaves of the people. There's a scripture over in Exodus that says that a new Pharaoh arose who knew not Joseph. Joseph had been Jacob's son who had went to Egypt by being sold into a caravan and later became the slave of the captain of the guard. Then he was put into prison, and he was brought out of prison to be the vice president to the Pharaoh, to head up, because there was going to be 7 years of plenty, and there was going to be 7 years of famine. And therefore, Pharaoh says, since he understood my dream, he'll be the man to be over it. Now, who's going to be over the party for Silas? I think Kyle got elected. He became the spokesman. But anyway, God calls us all to do things. He don't call us to sit. He calls us to salvation, to serve. And anyway, you look into a man by the name of Samuel. Not me. Not that. I'm 2 Samuel. My dad was 1 Samuel. And he was a licensed preacher. Never did nothing with it till he retired. And he told me, he says, son, don't wait around. He said, I think God's going to use you to be that preacher that I never was. And anyway, folks, God didn't call everybody to be a preacher. Didn't call everybody to play a piano or to sing. He didn't call everybody to read the scripture like Dan. Of course, I called Dan Deacon Dan, and he didn't really like it. But for some reason, I don't understand it. But anyway, I've got to know a lot of you folks here, even though I'm in and out all the time. And I love every one of you, and I wouldn't want to hurt you. But I want to challenge you today to know that there are four callings. As you're called to salvation, you're called to sanctification. That's to live a separated life from the world. Romans 12, 1 and 2 was actually the first formal sermon that I ever preached. And it says, I beseech you, brother, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind. God has called us all to sanctification. And anyway, we find that his callings are without repentance. I told you a while ago, Romans 11, 29 tells us that. And he told us that we need to abide in this idea and know that in 1 Corinthians 7, 20, that as we abide in our salvation journey, our service journey with the Lord, and we need to remain with a full hope of it, as Paul told the Ephesians in 1:18. And he says to the Philippians, he says, there's a prize that is to be had that is highly esteemed to be a prize. And it's there in Philippians 3:14. And he says, we need to be worthy of the calling that we have been called to do, the service part, and we need to do it diligently and not slowfully. And it's a holy one, as Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 1 and verse 5. Anyway, you need to be a partaker because there is a heavenly calling that's coming, as the Bible tells us in Hebrews in 3 and 1. And we need to make sure of our calling, as Peter brought out there so aptly. People were wondering, where is the coming of the Lord? He said he was coming back. Peter told him, he says, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And then he went into something that a lot of people don't understand. I hope to God that maybe he's right about that. He says, a day with the Lord is but as 1,000 years. And he didn't dream that up. Moses had said it in a psalm that he wrote in Psalms 90. The same thing there, where we have to take account of our lives. We preachers like to use that Psalms 90 a lot of times in funerals. And anyway, he says, that a day with the Lord but is 1,000 years. In other words, they ask us, where is his coming? A lot of people have already fell asleep in the Lord, and yet he hadn't come back. If a day with the Lord is but as 1,000 years, he's only been gone 2 days. And the third day, he's coming back to set up his 1,000-year reign. And that'll be a one day for the Lord. You say, Brother Sam, you're getting far-fetched. Well, maybe it is, but just think of it that way. God is not bound down with time like we are. He is in eternity, and nothing slips up on him. He's already foresaw, and he's already foreordained that all things are going to come about, and he's going to get his job done whether you do it or not. He'll bless you with it, or if you won't do it, he'll bless somebody else with it. And I found that out as a young man, that when I didn't want to be a preacher, I just wanted to be assistant pastor and be a music director. And finally God told me, says, you've had your way now for about 15 years. It's time that you get back to what I really called you for to do. And anyway, as we look at this, we need to make sure of our calling and to be faithful to it. Now remember, there are four callings: salvation, sanctification, service, and then security, as we're called into heaven. We need to yield to His call, whichever applies to us now. Whatever He's called you to do, do it. I think a sermon we used to preach as a quick sermon was the sermon about work. Whatsoever your hands find to do it with all your might, Solomon said. And you need to do it heartily unto the Lord, Paul told the Colossians. And he told the Corinthians, he says, and whatever you do, give God the glory, and don't you gloat over what God has done in and through you and around you. And anyway, as we yield to His call, whatever applies to us, and if you have not answered it, you need to answer today. It may be the first call that you need to do. You need to answer the call to salvation. You need to acknowledge that God in heaven sent His Son to die for your sins and arise for your justification, to ever live to make intercession and prepare a place for you, and that He can come again and take us there before the judgment seat of Christ, as 2 Corinthians 5:10 tells us. In conclusion, I say this. This is not the lifetime that God is going to be dealing with your heart, because He is long-suffering, and He never gives up, and He tries to bless us by taking part into His kingdom. Sorry, folks. I see what I needed a lot of the time. I get dry mouth when I get too dried up. Okay. Get ready today and move out tomorrow. Don't want no more trouble and sorrow, the song says. And even if we're getting ready today, moving out tomorrow, where there won't be any more trouble and sorrow, are you ready? Have you yielded to the first call to salvation? Have you yielded to living a sanctified, a separated life? Have you yielded to the call He called, the work that He's called you to do, the vocation that you're hereby called? We need to walk worthy of the vocation hereby we are called to do. And we need to get ready and answer God's call today. What are you going to sing, Brother Kyle?